Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by three guests to promote this Friday, June 19th's LFA 235 event, which is at Freedom Hall right here in Louisville, Kentucky. There are nine local fighters fighting on the card. Big deal for each one of these fighters. If you can get out there and support them, please do. The LFA is the number one MMA promotion in the entire world that feeds directly into the UFC, and that's the dream for every MMA fighter on the planet, is to get to that next level, to get to the UFC. The LFA, we're so blessed that it's been coming here to Louisville, Kentucky now for a few years, and it's a big deal. Please get out and support these fighters. I have local entrepreneur, podcaster, businessman Steve Craven is on the show, along with Eddie Donaldson, longtime entertainment world promoter, relatively new to promoting the combat sports scene, but he's back here in Louisville, Kentucky, where he's originally from, and he's hit the ground running, and he's really working his ass off to promote these LFA shows. And we're very fortunate. Eddie's longtime friend is Ed Suarez, who just happens to be the CEO and creator of the LFA. LFA's been around for about 10 years now, and Ed Suarez from Southern California, just an absolute legend within the world of mixed martial arts and promoting the fight game, Ed Suarez. So we appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please send some health insurance referrals my way, specifically if you know someone who needs help with their Medicare. I can shop existing Medicare supplements for other better rates. I can help with your Medicare drug coverage, your Medicare Advantage coverage. I can help with anything related to health insurance, in particular for seniors. Please send me some referrals. MedicareStoreUSA.com is the website. Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and Florida are the main states I work in. But anywhere in the United States, if you could send me some referrals, I've got a partner who can cover everywhere in the country. Send me some Medicare referrals. I also want to thank Matt McCarthy, the producer for The Kelly Patrick Show, and also Jorge Basado, who helps me with the video footage. Louisville Combat Academy, 7908 Beulah Church Road, has been a longtime supporter and sponsor of The Kelly Patrick Show. They offer 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. They have a great kickboxing and MMA program. Also, check out Louisville Combat Academy. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in and joining the show. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by returning guests. We have, of course, Eddie Donaldson, originally from Louisville, Kentucky, moved to Southern California.
And now I'm back.
Now he's back, and he's a big part of promoting the LFA shows when they come to town. And, of course, we have in studio with us the CFO of LFA, returning guest Ed Suarez.
CEO.
I'm sorry, CEO. CEO.
I actually kind of am the CFO, too, but... Okay. I don't like to take that title, but I actually do a lot of the financial part, too.
Okay. Ed Suarez, back in studio with us here on the Kelly Patrick Show. Appreciate you coming back. I think you guys were on digitally with me just a few weeks ago, so back on the
That's
show.
Right.
Thank you so much. And we have first-time guest on the Kelly Patrick Show. We have Steve Craven.
Correct.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, I appreciate you having me, and looking forward to it.
You're a fan of the local combat sports scene. You've been doing a good job of promoting the scene, and it's very cool how it's a little community, and we like to support each other, and everybody kind of comes together. I've noticed you guys have gotten some good media this week. I think I saw you with Terry Miners. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, Terry was great. I mean, I've never been on the show. Ed has. I've passed the last couple of times, but I really enjoyed my time with him.
I think this might have been the third time we were with them.
Every
they're,
year.
They're great. The guy's always really cool, always very motivated to talk about it, and just all around great guy, man. He really makes you feel comfortable and open up with him. He's good.
Only issue I had, he went to St. X. Other than that, he's a great dude.
Eddie, of course, a Trinity guy. Steve, you're from Louisville?
I am from Louisville. I'm actually Valley Station born and raised.
Okay.
And moved around a little bit. I do business development and marketing and coaching. So I'm on the other side of the podcast stuff with you as well.
Love it.
So.
Well, of course, we have a big card coming up Friday, June 19th. We have LFA, what is it, 235?
235.
Huge card. We have nine local fighters. Big deal for this local combat sports scene.
I couldn't be more excited with Mark Berry's job this year. You know, I think he got some of the good guys. You know, all the guys are great. All the guys are worthy of being on the card. And then we got some guys from Nashville MMA as well. So I think he did a great job this year on this card, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a bunch of W's go up on the 502 chart.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, there's a lot of talented fighters that are in the Kentuckiana area in general. But in the 502 area alone, there is just so much mixed talent. Some of the talent, we got a guy that from the 502 that moved out to Vegas and is training at Extreme Couture, came back. And
Jacob Yancey.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And, man, he seems like he is as polished and ready to go. He came back and trained with Jason Y since he's been here. Jason kind of was giving us a little rundown on just how much more polished he is from the time he left here to the time going out there and coming back, from his grappling to just smooth transitioning and the whole nine yards.
He said he got to be one of the, according to him, one of Ronda Rousey's main training partners.
Yeah, that is correct.
For her recent
fight. Shout out to Jacob, dude. 170 pounds lost.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw him at a local fight here for the first time, and I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And now he looks really good, and I'm rooting for him.
You know, yeah. And the thing about it is he is a very – him and his wife have a really cool story. Like, you know, he had an option to go to college, and on his way to college, he turned around and went back home because he didn't feel comfortable leaving his fiance at that time. Mm-hmm. And he came back home, and it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just a fat, overweight, sloppy guy. I need to figure out something. And he took weight loss serious and decided that he kind of liked training a little bit. And they said, well, you're a good wrestler, and let's just see what happens. And –
there it is.
There it is.
I love it. Ed, we've got a big card. Geographically, year-round, you travel across the world.
Yeah.
I've heard people in different industries refer to Louisville as, maybe you could say it's in a way, I don't want to say the center of the country, but it's geographically in a pretty good spot in the United States. What are your thoughts on Louisville as a market?
I think it's a great... logistically, it's well positioned for us because there's very we can logistically have fighters from multiple areas from around Louisville, so it's like it's logistically it's a great spot. And we don't come to too many areas in the country around here. I mean, the closest is probably Tennessee,
Clarksville,
Tennessee, yeah. Which is probably what, how many hours, Eddie?
Hour and a half, hour and 45, maybe
yeah.
two.
Yeah, well, so it's not too far, but there's a lot of logistically there's so many different areas to pull from. So, you know, it's a fairly convenient area,
yeah.
and logistically it's a great place to do shows.
Almost 3 hours, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was
okay.
Thinking. I don't mean to correct you.
No, please do.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, but about 2 hours. We want transparency and honesty.
Yeah,
here,
I'd so be mad
I'll
if I got.
Double check everybody.
I'd be mad I got in the car and it hit 2.5. I'm like, where the hell am I going?
Yeah. So about
Google, I'm glad Google worked out for you on that one. You know, at least somebody's got to check us here, right?
Yeah. So that does to your point.
100%. It's a great spot, and also the history of Louisville with fighting. You know what I mean? I mean, the greatest combat sports athlete to me of all time ever in any combat sports is Muhammad Ali, and this is you know, and for us to have a show at Freedom Hall in the venue that he had his first professional boxing match, it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to do a show in a venue with so much combat sports history.
Yeah, and we will be honoring Ali with a moment of silence on Friday night because of the 10th year anniversary of his passing. So
10th year
KJ Martin from the Ali Center will be out there with us.
Okay.
10 years, huh?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Do you know what? My God, that is, because, you know, right, Mick Maynard, who's the UFC matchmaker, when we merged the RFA and Legacy Fighting Championship to form the LFA, I can recall right when we were, you know, kind of in the middle and finalizing the details of how this was all going to go down, was right when Muhammad Ali passed. And I remember at one time I was calling him. He's like, "Hey man, I came to Muhammad Ali's funeral." So he was a huge fan.
Yeah.
And now that I thought about it, you're exactly right. It was 2016.
Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
Ed Suarez is the CEO and maybe also the CFO of LFA. You quickly said Muhammad Ali's the greatest. In the world of prize fighting, that's your thing. What made him the greatest? Why was he the total package? What did he bring to the table?
His athleticism, I think what he stood for. I think his the way he marketed himself, and just what he stood for, man. He stood for what he believed in. He stood behind what he believed in, and I think he was an incredible example to many African American people throughout the world. Yeah. He was one of the first guys that really took a stance and made a difference, and I respect that. And on top of that, who he was as an athlete, what he did, everything about him, man. He checks all the boxes.
He was an example for all humans.
Yes, right? Definitely.
Great humanitarian. But most of all, what I think really gave him his juice was he was from Louisville, Kentucky.
Is that right?
It's a special place. You know, it's a very special place. You know, a lot of great people have come out of this city.
I'll tell you, on the other side of it, this kind of speaks volumes of what kind of person he is. Look how much he dumped back into his city. Think about how many people leave the environment, leave the situation that they grew up in, especially the ones that didn't come up so well to do, and they leave that situation, and then when they make a little bit of money, it's not that they forget where they came from. It's that the grass is a little greener where they're at now, and things are a little easier, and they normally don't pour as much back into the community where they're from. He poured a ton back into the community. But to me, a highlight that I think is really cool is he went back and purchased the home that he grew up in, that he had all of the bad things happen to him in the whole nine yards, and his story's really neat. But he went and bought that house, completely redid it, and offered tours for anybody that wanted to go through it. And each room, they have something special that reminded him of that home.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Ed, before we started recording, I was starting to pick your brain. I said, maybe this is something we should talk about off air. And you said, hell, I don't give a shit. We'll talk about it on air. I was asking you, and Eddie and I were kind of talking about maybe some political implications of the recent UFC card on Donald Trump's 80th birthday. You know, what was Michael Jordan's famous quote? He said, Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're looking at it from a political perspective, do you see any underlying political connections? We were talking about maybe, does it alienate part of a fan base? If someone's watching and they hate Donald Trump and they're still a fan of MMA, what do you think of UFC 250?
I actually thought it was one of the greatest sporting events of all time. And people can spin this however they want politically, but at the end of the day, it was done at the White House because of the 250th anniversary of America. And there was nothing more American and more made me proud to be an American, to see the show that they put on. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the left, right, wherever you're at. It doesn't make a difference. That was about America. It wasn't about the left or the right or Republicans or Democrats or independents. It wasn't about that. It was about America. And everything finished off, you know, they couldn't have asked for a better finish. You know, you've got an American who's a 5-1 underdog to lose. And for him, when he's walking out, they show a scene of him reading the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And he's reading the Declaration of Independence, and then he walks through that.
Huge upset win.
He gets that win, and it's kind of a story of America. You know, we had to fight for everything we had. We're fighters, man. We're not going to back down. And I'm proud to say we're the baddest ass fucking country in the world, man. And I'm proud to be an American.
I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, and one thing that I liked the most was, and whether it's staged or whatever you want to say, it's an antic. When those fighters came out and those vets were in the wheelchairs walking with them, I was touched, you know, obviously for obvious reasons based on my home, but I was touched. And I just imagine that 89-year-old dude. That never happened. Like, that's never going to happen. No one's ever going to offer that guy the opportunity to be on that main stage in front of that many people and walk out with those guys that are going to go in there and put it all on the fucking line. And I was like, that was what got me, you know.
You know, I'll tell you a cool part to me was the fact that every fighter, whether they were American or not, saluted and or shook every hand of every vet that walked them out.
Yeah.
You know, they stopped and they took that time. For a moment in history, everybody appreciated everybody that was in that situation at that time. It didn't matter your color, didn't matter your religion, didn't matter if you were left or right. It didn't matter what was right or wrong. Everybody appreciated everybody. And did you all know, I was just listening to the post show, that is the first fight in U.S. history that there was no fights in the crowd at all. Did not know that.
I didn't either.
They said it was the first time they had not had any fights in the crowd.
They had rather enhanced security.
Yeah, well, they almost had a drone.
They're incentivized to not get thrown out.
I don't know about that, man.
You think maybe there were?
Well, at what crowd? Like, the, I mean.
Oh, so maybe it's happened before where there hasn't been fights.
I mean, what I'm saying is that, yeah, of course there wasn't, because it was all military and it was all invited guests.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Of course there wasn't, but there's been multiple shows that we've done.
With no fights.
With no fights.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, you know, no question.
I'm but yeah. I'm saying, and there's been plenty of UFC shows that have had no fights. But what I, but regardless, I actually at the, what do they call it, the Eclipse or whatever, the park that they had with the 80,000 people around it.
Ton of fights.
I saw some scraps there.
Yeah.
I saw social media kind of blew that cover.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
What about the comments? Who's the guy who played in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
And he won the heavyweight title, and then he said Michelle Obama's a man. Anybody have any thoughts on
Josh
that?
Hokett.
Josh Hokett.
You know Josh Hokett.
I know Josh Hokett very well. Yep. Josh Hokett came from the LFA.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Hokett, listen, you don't have to agree with what he says, but... And you, like I said, you don't have to agree with the way he markets himself. But who's everyone talking about?
And it's brilliant.
Yeah. Joshua, I thought it was a little bit tasteless. Not a little bit. It was tasteless. It wasn't a little bit. It was tasteless what he said. But he got everyone's attention. I'm not saying that's right. Everyone can market themselves the way that they want to. I don't think it was called for, but... He's out there, man. He does things. But take that away. Let's take away the marketing. That guy's an athlete, man.
Oh yeah, the guy, clearly.
The guy is an athlete. He was a, you know, all American. You know, he played for a Division I college in football and wrestled for Fresno State. Fresno State has a strong wrestling program. They have a great football team. And then he played for the 49ers for 4.5 years. So the guy, you know, anyone that plays for the NFL, you have to be an athlete. You're athletic, your athleticism. And, you know, he's not a big guy. But when you look at some of the greatest heavyweights in combat sports in the world, they weren't always the 265-pound, 7-foot guy.
Yeah, big
they
dudes. Yeah.
They weren't, you know what I mean? Even in the history of it, you look at a guy – who came back and won the heavyweight title is the oldest in the is when Randy Couture beat Tim Sylvia. He came back out of retirement and beat Tim Sylvia. Tim Sylvia was whatever, 6'7", 6'8".
Giant.
Randy Couture's what, 6'1"?
Mm-hmm.
You know, barely 222 pounds.
Yeah.
And he beat him. And you look at a Josh Hokett who's got, I mean, look at like the way he trains levels and took Derek Lewis down. The speed that he has. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but let me tell you something, man. You're a fullback in the San Francisco 49ers for 4 years. You're athletic and you're strong. Look what he did to Derek Lewis. He took that guy down like it was like a baby. He just took him down at will. So I think that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
What did he do at the weigh-ins? Did he pretend like he had like applesauce in his mouth?
Yeah.
He pretended like he vomited, but he wasn't really drunk, was he?
No, he wasn't really drunk.
But he claimed that he was drunk.
It's all an act.
No, it's all an act. It's all his shtick, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like people, listen, you can love him, you can hate him. But you're going to...
But he's on your mind. He's on the mouth.
He's on your mind. And he's
on your social media.
You're going to tune in to watch him win, or you're going to tune in to watch him lose. But guess what? You're tuning in.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's
the game.
Like I said, everyone does it differently. You know, I mean, what he said was crazy, but like, let's go back to one of the greatest of all time. Look at the things back then that Muhammad Ali was saying.
Sure.
You can't
completely different, but I get what you're saying.
It was pissing people off.
It was pissing people off. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like
there was plenty of old white people who are not happy to see this guy win.
Yeah, running his mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty boy.
Right.
You know, he said some foul shit along the way, though, too.
He did.
Like, he wasn't all fun.
At times he'd be mean to, like, Joe Frazier. You know, there was times where he kind of would bully people and call them dumb. And he would call Sonny
Howard Cosell. Yeah. Howard Cosell, he had a little beef, you know.
So, you know, that's why I'm saying that it's all, you know, it's all relative to where we're at in time, you know what I'm saying? But, yes, what he said was a little bit outlandish, but...
And it wasn't really necessarily even delivered like good comedy or... No. He was like, Michelle Obama's the man.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, but okay. I mean, imagine his emotions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not giving any excuses here, and I don't want to get beat up on social media here, but I am saying he just did the undoable in a place that was even undoable. Like
the biggest stage of all time.
So he made a bad choice. Let's move on.
But he might get paid for it, so let's be real. More people are
talking. He might get sued for it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there could be, you know, we don't know. Like, I don't know the legalities of what he did. I mean, yes, I've heard, you know, she's a public figure and this, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? But
Candace Owens has claimed that Brigitte Macron is a man, the First Lady of France, and there's a active lawsuit toward her.
Oh, wow.
About that. So I don't know why this is a big thing these days.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it hits him, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I hope is he just doesn't get scapegoated, like, on some politics. And it's just, if it's legal, it's legal. But let's not make an example of him to try to prove a point.
Free speech should be free speech.
Right.
Yeah, I really think so.
Yeah, but I think there's a time where you leave some of that stuff alone. You know what I mean? You can be as wild as you want to be. I mean, Conor McGregor was the same way. For a long time, everybody hated Conor McGregor. You know, he just made that he didn't make a lot of friends in a lot of things that he was doing. Let's just keep it that way. And it's, to me, I think it's a very similar situation where he could have easily he could just leave some of that stuff alone.
Yeah, we all agree he was wrong.
Yeah, he could.
We all agree it was wrong.
But
he went a little too far. Yeah.
He went too far, but... It probably did enhance his name recognition.
Oh, his visibility is off the charts.
His visibility is at an all-time high right now.
Everybody was talking about it.
They're still talking about it.
The View was talking about it.
They probably weren't happy, I'm guessing.
Oh, of course not. Of course they weren't.
Didn't The View?
The View's not happy with any of it.
That's what I was going to say.
The View's not happy with any.
Really? I thought they seemed like a basket of laughs.
Yeah, sure.
Why don't you go on there and check it out to see? Tell us how it is.
Yeah, I'll go on The View. All right. All right, so let's do a little bit of a preview. What can you tell us about this card we have Friday?
I could tell you that we're going to have 13 fights, action-packed. It's going to be great. The co-main event and the main event is almost kind of like a little four-man middleweight tournament.
Mm. You know?
So that's going to be extremely exciting. And then, like we mentioned in the beginning of the night, you know, you've got 9 local you know, athletes from this area that are going to be there. So I think
that's huge for our scene. Thank you very much for that. I'll say
it's our pleasure. And, you know, I feel that, you know, Louisville has basically given us so much support and embraced us that it's a pleasure to be able to give back in that, you know, in that form.
You know, if only you could get 2 teams to be the co-main and the main against each other, it would be like a redeal for you for RFA and LFC, right? Whenever you guys
RFA, you know, RFA and
LFC
fighting
championship. Yeah, LFC.
Yes. Well, what do you mean?
So whenever you had RFA and you went against LFC, right? And so it would be like a redo of that. What I mean?
In a sense, but not really because it would in a sense of the competition way. But when we did back in 2015, when the RFA did an event with Legacy Fighting Championship and we competed against each other, it was 2 mixed martial arts organizations going against
battling
each other. I mean, teams are constantly going after each other.
Yeah, yeah. I was just saying that we simulate the 2. It would be cool because you'd have a 4-on-4 showdown.
Yeah.
From my perspective, we have, if it's all right, I'll go over this real quick.
Sure.
We have, of course, Jacob Yancey, who we mentioned with the great weight loss journey he's been on. High school wrestler, moved out full time. He's a part of Team Couture in Vegas, working his ass off. Training partner of Tyler Stout for many years. He'll be cornered by the legendary Jason Y, who you referenced earlier.
Yes, great guy.
Yeah, great guy, great coach.
Absolutely.
That's 145 pound. According to Tapology, it says maybe that's the first fight of the card. I don't know.
No, okay. That is the, you're talking about, which one?
Jacob Yunus.
Can you tell me who's the first fight of the card?
The first fight of the prelims are going to be, Alexander, Colet.
Okay, Alexander Colet
versus heavyweight. Blake Mitchell will be the first car, first one. Then Anthony McCormick, Scott Covert versus Tyler Stout.
Okay, so for Alexander Colet, he trains out of Triumph Combat. He trains with Damon Bell, BJ
and
Ferguson,
Anthony McCormick,
yeah. BJ Ferguson, Coach Cameron. They've got a bunch of beasts over there.
Man, great. The Fergusons, you talk about just a stud of a family, man. All of the Fergusons are tough, and they are great trainers, and they were good fighters. You know, I see highly of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do a great job.
BJ Ferguson and Josh Ferguson were both on the Ultimate Fighter TV show. Josh Ferguson really made a scene. He was kind of a character yeah. on his season, yeah. which, you know, they kind of feed into that. Yeah. They amp that up.
Yeah.
But, of course, Isaiah Ferguson, the youngest of the three, you know, has had a heck of a career. He could still be fighting. I mean,
a stud.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. They've got three studs in the Ferguson brothers at Triumph Combat. Damon Bell, Cameron, but Anthony McCormick, what do they call him, Hollywood.
Yeah, we did Wave 3 with Anthony yesterday.
He's made for that.
Or yesterday.
So that's Alexander Colet. He's making his pro debut against Blake Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Heavyweight matchup. That's the first fight of the prelims.
First fight of the prelims. First pro fight, that is.
First pro fight.
We've got three amateur fights leading up to that.
Are you able to tell me what the first amateur fight is?
The first amateur fight is Carson Rainwater.
Against Eric Moore. Eric Moore, 2-1 amateur, trains out of Derby City MMA. Down on Wide Dixie Highway, Nicholas Albin, Chewy, the owner of Derby City MMA, has the most. He's a very accomplished pro MMA fighter, jiu-jitsu black belt. He wins Chicago Open black belt heavyweight tournaments. This is Chewy, and also he has Chewjitsu, the YouTube channel, which is the most popular YouTube channel in the world for jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, and this is Chewy down on Dixie Highway.
Yeah.
So he owns the gym, and Eric Moore fights out of Derby City. His coach is Ben Fowler, LFA vet.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you something. I was at New Line Cage Fighting, and Eric was fighting, and they came past me. I'm sitting with the family that he's fighting against. They came and sat with us. So I'm like, I got to get up because my boy's fighting against this, the wife and the grand. Everyone's there. It's like 10, 12 people. And I get up to go behind where they're fighting, and as I'm walking, I hear, and the guy just drops. Eric kicked him so hard in the head, dude. I didn't even get to see it. I only heard it.
Was it a kickboxing match or was it MMA?
I think it was a kickboxing. Okay. It could have been MMA. I'm not sure.
Eric has some highlight reel knockouts in the world of kickboxing. And then also, every time he gets into a damn MMA cage, he puts on a show. I commentated one of his fights a few months ago where he ended up getting choked unconscious. But he handled it so well. He went all out. Got up, and he was, like, smiling and shaking the guy's hand right after he got put out. But this guy goes in there and he'll throw head kicks. He'll throw combos. He's got some really impressive. He was a quarterback in college for a local college in Kentucky.
So he's an athlete.
He's an athlete. Yeah, so that's Eric Moore is the second fight. That's the local connection against Carson Rainwater.
No, Eric Moore's the first fight.
Oh, I'm sorry. First fight. That's the first amateur fight. I'm sorry.
First amateur fight.
What's the second amateur fight, please?
It's Jacob Yancey versus Dustin Mahon.
Okay. And as we said earlier, Jacob Yancey, 2-3, local guy, Taylorsville, which is just south of Louisville. Yeah. And we said it. He's had the great weight loss journey. You know, Stephen was saying great things about him, but he'll get in there and put some work in.
How much weight did he lose?
170
pounds.
170 pounds.
Over because he's fighting at 145.
Yeah.
You saw him fight at another promotion.
No, but I'm just.
That's wild.
That's crazy, dude.
It is.
I didn't recognize him when I saw him.
And he never stopped fighting the whole time. He just kept going down in weight classes, is what he told me.
That's incredible.
Who else we got?
And then the last amateur fight is Todd Pickett versus Lam Onen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting is we haven't heard anything out of Todd yet on any. There's no media.
That's Todd Pickett. The funny thing is everybody's like, man, he doesn't like to talk, does he? But I've known Todd since he was 15.
Yeah.
I could beat him up when he was 15. Not much longer thereafter that.
Yeah.
But I was there when he stepped into the room at Gracie, Kentucky, his first day. And so I got to train with him. I worked with him in a restaurant for a while. Actually, I've known Todd for many years.
How old is he now?
He's 24, I believe, now.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah, he's 24 years old now. But Todd actually, despite not doing media, like you said, and seeming like he's standoffish, people will be like, is he a dickhead? He doesn't want to talk to me. He actually has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he's
good. Need to talk to him and, you know, kind of get him loosened up or know, you know, and I'm not saying that he's real picky, but you just got to get him in the right situation where he's got a good personality.
Right. Yeah.
But he's a stone cold killer. He's 8-0 as an amateur. I would say he's a submission specialist, but he has very impressive striking.
Yeah, he's good with his hands too.
Yes.
He's definitely good with his hands.
8-0 amateur fighter. He
I'll
is
tell you right
taking
now,
this shit seriously.
24 years old and 8-0, he needs to go pro.
Is that time?
Yeah, man. If he wins this fight, he needs to go pro, man. He's not getting any younger. He's 24 years old.
Scott, if you're listening.
You got to go pro, man.
I think this is what he's looking to do.
Yeah, I hope so.
His last fight was for LFA back in June of 2025, so it'll be about exactly a year. He beat Gates Cook with an arm triangle. He's had a little bit of a couple of injuries. He's considered, you know, maybe moving to 155, maybe going pro, but he's fighting Liam Onan at 170. And according to, there we have it. Ed Suarez says.
I mean, hey, that's a decision for him and his coach, but I'm just thinking at 24 years old, you know, and if he's only fighting once a year, I mean, what, he's going to be 6-0 at 30 as a pro? I mean, he better get, you know, he better get going.
Yeah.
In the fast lane.
Is this a hobby or is this something?
No, he's all in. I'll say that. I know that. This is not a hobby. He did have a couple little injuries. He would have liked to have fought. I almost got to commentate for a couple of his fights over the past year. We had a couple things happen where he wasn't able to get in there.
Sure. And that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the nature of our business. I mean, our main event fell out, you know, 2 weeks ago.
I saw that.
You know,
Ward.
Yeah, it was Landry Ward versus Ilya, and you know, that would have been an incredible. Landry Ward has always comes out and puts on an
not a boring fighter
comes out here. But with that being said, you know, that's the nature of our business. You know, things happen.
Yeah,
things happen. You got to roll with the punches.
Okay,
literally.
Yeah.
Then the first pro fight is Alexander Colette. We said out of Triumph Combat. What's the second pro fight?
It's Bryce Womer versus Eric Culvert.
Okay. And, you know, I don't know. Let me see. There may be one of these that does have a local connection.
Oh, wait a second. No. I'm sorry. That's actually the main card. Let me tell you the second fight. After the Blake Mitchell Alexander Cole fight, it's Anthony McCormick versus.
Yeah. And then it's Jake.
Isaiah Watkins.
Okay. And we all love.
Listen,
Anthony,
you know where I am with that. You know, I co-managed Anthony with Damon.
Why did you want to manage?
I didn't want to manage. I don't want to manage.
Okay.
But I like the kid. I mean, Hollywood's got something, you know, and I think he's special, you know, and he's good with it. He's good with his hands. He's getting better on the ground. I love Damon. I love what they stand for over there. It's no nonsense. It's all honesty and transparency. So I figured I'd give it a shot and see what happens, you know, and hopefully, you know, I'm emotionally attached to all the guys from here, you know, which is going to, I'm going to have to learn to get away from that as a promoter and as an agent. But
is that something he needs to be careful with, Ed, getting emotionally attached to the local fighters?
You can't get emotionally attached to any fighter, man.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Easier said than done, maybe.
Because if you do, they're going to break your heart.
Okay.
Well, when Lance Lawrence lost
multiple
last year,
reasons.
I was almost in tears, like not being funny. Like I felt it in a way that I have never felt, watched anyone lose, you know, a fight.
It's hard not to, you know what I mean? It's hard not to, especially if it's the guy from your hometown and you know, you're sad when certain guys win. I mean, as a promoter, I'm pretty numb.
You've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm new to this.
I'm numb. I'm like, may the best man win. I don't care if I know you or I don't know.
Well, one thing I'll say about Ed is he's super like level, right? And he says you don't lose in the LFA. You learn.
Yeah, you don't. You either.
So I'll get there. I'll get there. But right now I'm not there. I'm just putting it all out there. Yeah. you'll be able to see what you'll see it on my face if we take some L's, and I hope that we take all W's for the turf.
You know, I had the pleasure, and me and Eddie had a chance to do a live podcast with Anthony at Tap Automotive.
Yeah.
And a straight stand-up guy. I mean, man. We had a really good conversation, but he is all in on MMA in general. The kid freaking loves the fight. He don't care if he wins or loses because he ain't going to lose. He is learning, and he is all about it. He said, I'm going to leave it all in there regardless. If I lose, they're going to know I was there.
So, look, I got a question for Ed. So, as, you know, when I first embarked on this journey with Anthony, because he's always smiling, he's happy, you know, and I said, do you do mean? Like, do you ever have a mean look or, you know, get the mean attitude? And he said, no, I don't. That's not me. I'm having fun with this no matter what. And I said, "You may, as you grow, you might want to growl a little." And he's like, nah, never. No matter what level I get, I'm going to be the happy, fun guy, because that's what I'll, if I'm not having fun, I don't want to do it.
Hey, man, that's a great attitude to have.
But to Anthony's credit, when he fought Elijah Woodruff for Future of Fighting, I got to commentate that card. They were talking shit to each other in the cage.
He wasn't
too happy-go-lucky inside the cage.
Listen, he did say.
So he knows where to.
Yeah, yeah.
He did say when the switch. Pin drops, everything changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
It was Elijah Woodruff kept trying to shoot in for some kind of deliberate wrestling. And Anthony was like, what the fuck, man? You want to fight or fight? What are we doing? You know? And he was beating him with a stand-up.
Yeah.
But Anthony kept calling him out for it, and then the corners were kind of talking shit to each other. Can you imagine Damon Bell got fired up during that fight?
I mean, he's a pretty low-key guy.
You're shocked to hear
that. He's got it in him.
Yes,
he's got it in him.
Yes.
Damon's got the dog in him for sure.
He does. All right, so what's the next fight on that?
Then it's Scott Calvert versus Tyler Stout.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be a
Tyler Stout, 125-pounder, 3-2 pro. I've said it. I feel like a broken record.
Yeah, back to Jason again.
Yeah, Jason White is his coach. But Tyler Stout is a striker.
Okay.
When I say he's a striker, he goes for the highlight reel knockouts.
Yeah, he does.
If there's someone on this card that has a chance of just highlight reeling somebody, it's Tyler Stout.
That's great, man.
You know,
that's what we want.
You don't mind hearing that?
No, that's at the end of the day, that's what you're here for. That's what the LFA platform is for these guys to create a platform for these guys to get the exposure, to get recognized. So this is the moment. If there's a moment for you to do it, this is the moment.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
So he knows this is where it's at. They're all so excited to be fighting on this card. I don't want to discount the rest of his game. He's got grappling. He's got real resilient takedown defense. When he won his most recent fight, which I did get to commentate, he had to really fight through a lot of takedown attempts, get back up. And
the crowd was a little bit disappointed because it wasn't what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
But he still got the W.
He got the W.
And he was not discouraged. The fact that he couldn't, you know, get down the way he likes to. And that was for Hard Rock MMA.
Yes.
Brandon. Shout out to Brandon.
And mind you that these prelims, you know, everywhere they're going to be broadcasted throughout the world. I mean, being close to almost 100 million homes are prelims worldwide. You know what I mean? So he's got the opportunity to have exposure. Our prelims will be in almost about 100 million homes.
That's wild.
And our main card will be in over 150 million households worldwide.
Wow. And I would argue, even for the guys on the amateur ticket, the most important audience that they can impress is you guys. And what I mean by that is, they get a nice win, and then they get to fight again for your promotion.
Yeah,
that's the way to get. That's where you get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I feel that you know what we are and where we are in the ecosystem of mixed martial arts. I mean, you know, I have management experience, and if I was a pro fighter and I was managing a pro fighter, a young fighter that I think has a bright future. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be in compete in the LFA? The LFA is the number one developmental organization in the world. 40% of the current UFC roster are LFA alumni. So, yeah, there's different ways of going. There's guys who don't want to take the tough fights that want to do, build their record, pad their record. And a lot of times those are normally like the smaller local promotions. That's the way, that's their business model. You know, they take a local kid who's going to be, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. But what the local promoter sees is they're good at one thing, and that's selling tickets.
Sure, absolutely.
So nobody wants to sell a bunch of tickets and then watch them get their ass kicked. So the thing is that what ends up happening is in that, and I'll tell you right now, this is a problem with America right now, with the American fighters. The American fighters are so concerned about protecting their records and building this incredible, this incredible record of, oh, I'm 6-0, I'm 7-0, I'm 8-0. But you're fighting the Uber driver and the pizza delivery guy, and you're not fighting anyone with substance. But you're so concerned about protecting your O. But then when you really get into a fight, you're going to get your ass kicked. So, okay, so you build yourself up to 10-0 and you haven't fought anybody. And then you get an opportunity to fight in a bigger show. I guarantee you, that's your real fight.
That's when you find out. That's when the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and unfortunately in America, that's the problem. Look around. You know, it's nice to see Justin Gaethje winning that title.
I was just thinking of Justin Gaethje as you said that, because
He's taken some losses, but Justin Gaethje, you look at it now, and right now, currently, just 3 months ago, there was only one American champion in the UFC. And that was Kayla Harrison. Then Sean Strickland shocked the world.
LFA vet.
Sean Strickland's down in LFA vet. Oh, but no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Sean O'Malley. Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland shocked the world. That was crazy.
He shocked the world there. And then to see Justin Gaethje shock the world. But once again, Justin Gaethje is kind of like an old school. He's at the end of his career, and I couldn't be happier for him. Ilya Topuria is an incredible warrior, incredible fight. I like everything about Ilya Topuria, the way he fights, the way he carries himself.
Yeah, me too.
He's together, man. He's a solid guy. But everyone can have a bad night. The problem is if you play any other sport, you know, you have a bad night. You're, whoever you are playing basketball and you have a bad night, guess what? You get to lace up tomorrow and redeem yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
you have a bad night and fucking throw a bunch of air balls. You're going to get to redeem yourself. But for you to take a loss the way Ilya Topuria took a loss, he's going to have to sit on that and grind on that for 6 months and realize that his orbital is broken and his nose is broken, and it's a totally different element. You have to have a strong mind to overcome
that. Yeah.
Have you seen someone's face get that fucked up before, Ed?
Oh yeah. All the time. I mean, not all the time, but you see it quite often. I mean,
I've heard people say they thought maybe Gaethje's gloves were plastered or something, Margarito type thing.
Yeah. No, Gaethje, but look what Gaethje's done. Look what Gaethje's done. Look how many people Gaethje has starched. And the beauty about it is
tornado that, watch.
Oh, is that right?
We have a tornado watch.
All right.
Until 5 a.m.
We'll be good.
Where are we watching?
That's what I was thinking.
I'll be in the basement under my pool.
Is this something you get in Southern California, tornado watches?
Never, I didn't think so. Yeah. But I had a crazy experience a few months back in Oklahoma. We did a show, and right before the co-main event, was coming out, the
shelter in place.
Yeah, shelter on premises. We had to empty the arena at a casino, and everyone left the arena. We all went into this like hallway that's reinforced, or like a convention center area that was, and we were there for 45 minutes. Then we went back and finished the show. And I'm just like thinking to myself,
how much of the crowd came back? Half.
I would say 50-60%.
Yeah, see, I'm going home and getting in the basement.
Yeah,
just, I'm sorry.
My wife's from Cuba, and you know they don't experience. They have hurricanes, so a different deal. But she freaks out when the tornado watches happen. Like she gets us in our basement, and she like has every, like she.
So
freaks
I'm lucky.
Out.
I'm texting Weinberg. Like, am I good? Do I need to go
Mark
in the
Weinberg,
basement?
Yeah.
I'm like, should I go in the basement?
Our local celebrity meteorologist is a big MMA fan.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I don't experience that, but I got to experience it this year, and it was definitely, you know, for a guy from California, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And these people were just like, yeah, no big deal, you know, they're just,
you know, grabbing another drink before they go into the shelter. And I'm like, what, dude? This is crazy.
So, all right. So what's the next fight on the card? We had the Tyler Stout, Scott Calvert. Is that right? And then we have
the final prelim is going to be Tyler Forsyth.
I believe.
And Edwin Jimenez.
Okay. Yeah. Looks like Forsyth is out of Mississippi, and Jimenez is, looks like he's Mexican, but fighting out of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
Any background on those guys?
You know, I'm not sure. Those aren't guys that I've, the other guys I've commentated their local fights.
Yeah.
I'm sure these guys aren't bums. No, you guys definitely. You guys get the best of the best. Yeah. If they're traveling across the country to fight for LFA.
Guy that's 6-1.
Yes.
And you got between both of them 10 wins and 2 losses.
At 125 pounds. That's going to be an exciting fight to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the 125 pounders are always exciting to watch.
Scrappy.
You know what I mean? They go for it.
Scrappy.
They go for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think of the super lightweight classes?
What super lightweight?
Okay, so like 125, that's the lowest you guys go.
Yeah. I don't know too many males lower than that.
Okay.
I mean.
Doesn't one sometimes will do lower than that maybe? Overseas sometimes. Do you like keeping the 120? Do you like keeping the 125ers around? You guys haven't
like
thought about getting rid of
the 125ers. Yeah, okay. I like the 125ers, but... But at the end of the day, anything smaller than that, I mean, that's a straw weight, man. I'd rather see some chicks fighting at 115.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
125 is a fun class because they're so fast.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And they never get tired.
Oh, yeah.
It's a show.
Very rare for them to get tired, yeah.
And also, I'm not saying they don't have hands, but, like, getting hit is different than getting hit by somebody a little bit bigger.
Yeah, but you got to realize, like, correct. Even one weight class up is such a significant difference in power, right? Coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's more knockouts the higher the weight goes.
But I'm.
Especially with these small gloves.
Even coming into that next weight class up, if you took him and dropped him down into a weight class, the power difference is just so significant.
Yeah.
If the weight cut doesn't hurt him that much, the power difference takes over. It's just a matter of the gas tank.
What do we got next?
The other guy.
The cardio. Yeah. Then we start the main card. Right, the main card starts at 9 p.m. Eastern. We got David Richardson versus Jimmy Pace Jr.
Do you know anything about David?
I do.
Yeah.
I've interviewed David many times, actually.
And that's at a catch weight.
David grew up in a rough area of Miami, Florida, and he learned to wrestle when he was real little, and he got kind of involved in a little bit of the street life type thing, and
now Sparrows is his coach, right?
Yeah. Moved to Kentucky because he was a real good wrestler. At one time, when he was a sophomore in high school, he was like number one ranked in his weight class in all the state of Florida for wrestling. But then he got in a little bit of trouble, and he ended up, you know, getting everything back together and going to Campbellsville University in Kentucky, where he wrestled. Had a very successful wrestling career in Kentucky, and now he's fighting out of Sparrows Boxing Gym.
What's it called? Sparrows?
Sparrows Boxing Gym, yep.
So Sparrows has got a son named Price.
Yeah, that's very successful.
He's a great young fighter from Kentucky.
Oh, cool.
And so, I hope Price can be in the building.
I'm sure he will. He'll be cornering.
Juicy will be there, by the way.
Oh, Juicy will be there.
Juicy's
okay.
Come.
So I think Price and his dad will be cornering
amazing.
David Richardson.
Yeah, that's great.
So David's got the wrestling background. I was fortunate I got to commentate like 8 years ago, his first MMA fight ever. Very interesting to watch someone with no striking, just wrestling at that time, fight. He won. But it's been really cool to see him go to this boxing gym and to progress with his
hands.
And so David's 34 years old, but he's been working his ass off. And he's 4-5 in his pro career. David Richardson, I don't think he'll be an easy night for anybody. He's going against Jimmy Pace Jr., who's sitting at 8-2. So I'm guessing that won't be a cakewalk.
No, it's not going to be a cakewalk. But once again, you know, you got a guy with 9 fights and 10 fights. Regardless of, you know, when it says 4-5, you don't know how that
correct
losses were. It could have been split decisions. It could have been multiple things, you know. And, you know, and anybody with a strong wrestling background is
– doesn't hurt.
It's just –
they got a shot.
It's an important discipline to be, you know, good at.
It'll make it a long night.
Yeah.
It'll make it a long night.
Jimmy Pace Jr. is Brazilian.
Well –
Not really. He spent some time in
Brazil. I'm sorry. It says fighting out of Brazil, but he's born in Miami. Okay.
That's funny because I said the same thing. He came in today in the thing, and I started speaking Portuguese to him, and he looked at me, and he said it, and he had this. Well, first I heard him. He came in and then he started speaking English. I go, God, this Brazilian guy.
Yeah, great English.
Okay.
English, yeah. You know what I mean? And then I started speaking to him and he goes, yeah, I lived there for about a year, a little over a year.
Okay.
And he's like, I don't
speak. It looks good on the topology.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No offense. Don't hit me up. That's right. Fight.
Yeah. All right. Next fight on the card.
Bryce Warner versus Eric Calvert. And that's, another flyweight fight.
And Eric Calvert, I know, is the brother of Scott Calvert. I think last year those two fought on this card also.
Yeah.
So second time we've got the Calvert brothers here.
That's right.
Which is cool.
That is cool to get the guys who aren't technically
big bro, little bro.
Yeah, they're not technically local Louisville or Kentucky fighters, but we start to get familiar with them.
Yeah. And then the next fight, Keston McClain. Keston McClain versus Mark Antonelli.
Keiston's a badass.
Yeah.
That's the guy you saw in the lobby today.
Yes. Oh, okay. Sitting at 4-0. He's 25 years old. Absolute stud. I mean, I can't say enough
good. I mean, he's looking good. You know,
yeah, he's looking he's good.
Fit. He's fit. His weight cut's going good.
When we seen him earlier, I mean, he did. He looks really good sitting there, and
he's hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry. He's out there having a good time. He's, you know,
he's hungry
up with
though.
Everybody and everything.
He's hungry.
Like, yeah.
Like if there's a hungry guy on the card, it's him.
I was fortunate. I did get to commentate one of his fights years ago. But Keiston's a beast. He's definitely a local fighter. He'll have a lot of the fighting out of Paducah, Kentucky. That's not necessarily Louisville.
It's close enough.
Yeah,
he comes here and spends time and trains here.
Yep.
Yeah. Trained with Damon a little bit. I think he's doing some work with Jason as well right now, though he's cutting weight at his house.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing him. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's good friends with Travis Hudson and Tyler, actually.
Shout out to Damon, man. That dude, he trains a ton of people.
And he
welcomes everyone. You know, that's
as long as you work hard, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Good way to be. Okay, up next we have
a lightweight bout. We got Wilson Lopshire versus Will Davis.
Will Davis trains out of Derby City, which is the home of Chujitsu, as I said. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Albin, the famous YouTube guy.
Pretty hungry too, though. Will's hungry.
Oh yeah, Will's a beast. Will's 3-1. He's someone who I think, if I remember correctly, I hate to make this all about me, but yeah, I commentated his first amateur fight back in 2020, so I've seen him come all along the way. Will's awesome, and I've sparred with him. He's not that tall of a guy. He's got super long arms, though, and he's got, like, real deceptively, like, what the fuck? How did I just get hit?
Yeah, he's got reach, and he's got wide, broad shoulders.
He's got that nasty jab, right?
He's got a really good jab.
Yeah.
Yes, very deceptive striking. He's got a very nasty jab. And he's 3-1 in his pro career. Very hard.
He's kind of top-heavy, too, so, you know, he's probably good at defense and also grab you and snatch you up real quick if he has to. Or take you down.
Oh, yeah. He trains with Chujitsu, with the great Jiu-Jitsu program out of East St. Louis, Illinois. I always got to get that right for you, Will, because I butchered it on commentary before.
Oh, yeah.
And then I get corrected. Yeah. East St. Louis, Illinois.
That's fair.
And then the co-main event, which I'm really excited about this fight, David Wright versus Jake Woodley. You know, you got Jake Woodley, who's who's a wrestler from Oklahoma, 7-1, and he's taken on David Wright, who is trained and a student of Rafael Lovato, who is, an undefeated mixed martial artist. He was the Bellator middleweight champion. He retired undefeated at 13-0. I believe 13-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Lovato
is 13-0.
It's kind of a jiu-jitsu guy, is what they say.
Not kind. He's one of the definitely one of the best American jiu-jitsu guys in the world, as far as competing with gi, no gi. He's just a true competitor. He's never stopped, and he's just I guess I'm biased, I managed him. He's my friend. He's just a phenomenal person. Just, and yeah.
So, was he ever on the mat at Black House?
No, I mean maybe
he was post Black House.
No. He was from Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and he's just a great guy. You know, yeah. I knew his
father.
I knew his coaches. Yeah, he's got two beautiful kids, and he's just an all around great guy. I was really happy to see him today, but Jake Woodley, can't take anything away from him. He trains with Jackson. So, you know, Greg Jackson will be in his corner. You got Lovato in his corner.
That's a pretty star-studded night.
Star-studded.
Don't miss out.
Star-studded co-main event. And then the main event is Andrew Stewart. And he's taking on Zane Havener. And that should be a good scrap too, you know. And so right now, the final, you know, the co-main event and main event is pretty close to, you know, it's pretty much like a four-man tournament. You know, we've got our current middleweight champ, who is going to be fighting on the Contender Series. So right now, you know, he still has the belt, but I could easily see the winner of the co-main and the winner of the main event could be potentially fighting for the title next. And of course, unless they get picked up, and like I feel for most of the fighters that fight for us, you know, especially the guys that win titles and stuff, I always say this, and I mean this in the best way possible. I hope this is the last time you fight for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because nothing makes me happier than seeing them move up and follow their dreams and us to be able to be that platform and that step that they need to take to get to where they want to go.
Alex Pereira lost in the main event.
In the co-main.
I'm sorry, co-main event.
Yeah.
What did you think of the strike to the back of the head?
Listen, I watched it. I think there were some illegal strikes, for sure. It started off with that jab. He got hit clean with that jab, and he fell to the ground, and I'm not sure, you know, everything happens really fast. It's hard to tell how many. I mean, at the end of the day, one illegal strike, we're human. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was intentional? No, I don't think it was intentional. I think when, you know, you drop Alex Pereira, at least I'm thinking in my head, I drop Alex Pereira and I've got him in a vulnerable position, I'm going to try to finish him.
Sure.
And you know, the way it happened, and he grabbed his single leg and he tried to grab his single leg and he's elbowing him and he's doing that and things are moving and you're in a scramble, there's potential that you're going to get, you know,
you're gonna miss.
Strikes. Yeah. I don't think if you're going to put a little bit of fault on someone, you got to put the fault on the referee for not stopping the fight and
taking a second
warning and take a look and at pause. It. But listen, Herb Dean is a great referee, but everyone makes mistakes. And I'm not going to necessarily say it's hard to say he made a mistake. He did. He didn't call an illegal strike. Yes, that happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're looking at a guy like Alex Pereira, who is an incredible, one of the greatest fighters of all time, what he's done in such a short amount of time. I think he tried to do something that only one other fighter, and this is an interesting fact.
Oh, yeah.
Fact.
Yeah, this is.
There's only two fighters that have tried to win three different titles in three different divisions in three different weight divisions, right?
Okay.
One of them is Patricio Pitbull.
Okay.
He won the 145 pound title, then he won the 155 pound title, then he went down to 135 and tried to win that title and was unsuccessful. Then you've got Alex Pereira, who won the middleweight title, then he won the light heavyweight title, then he wasn't successful winning the heavyweight title. But the craziest thing about that is both of those guys were born on the same exact day and year.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is wild.
Yeah,
wild.
They're both born on July 7th.
Wow. Seventh letter.
Yeah,
seven's a good number.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy.
That is wild. Yeah. That is an interesting fact.
I wouldn't have been able to answer that one.
7-7.
Yeah. So
it's, do you think it was a good move for Pereira to try to go to heavyweight like that?
Well, I think a guy like Pereira, man, he's so well accomplished. Like, what more could he do? I you know, is it good? Is it, you know? Listen, if he would have won, he would have been the
greatest of all time.
Solid case for that.
So then lots of people, oh, did you do the wrong thing? Listen, he could have might have done a lot of the wrong thing. The only thing that's a little bit kind of obvious to me is, like, you know, to think that 7.5 to 8 months ago he stood on a scale in his last title fight and weighed in at 205, and then he weighed in at 251 pounds for this fight. Now, I'm not a fighter. I'm not a trainer. But I just wondered what that does. Like, how long does your body take to be able to
adjust
to carrying
a plate
46 pounds more on your body and be able that? You know, obviously, Alex Pereira, I don't care what weight he's always got that punch, you know what I mean? But, you know, it makes you think, like, I've seen him knock people out of glory with big, you know, kickboxing gloves, knock people out cold, you know what I'm saying? Which that's not easy to do. So he's got heavy, heavy hands. And I think, you know, at that weight, you get hit, anything can happen.
You know, the one thing I thought was interesting is that you said he'll take one to give one.
He'll take one to give one. He will. He will take
one. At that weight with those hands, it might be a little bit of a different take.
It might be a little bit different take. And also, when he was fighting at 205 and fighting at 185, a lot of times he was the taller athlete, the taller competitor there. And sometimes when you're a little bit taller and you have that reach, there's different things. And you know, he was fighting a southpaw. So it was very much like fighting maybe an Israel Adesanya, because you're fighting a guy that has a stand-up background and he's a heavyweight, and he doesn't move like a heavyweight. Gon does not move like a heavyweight, man. He moves like a middleweight or a light heavyweight.
He's very technical.
Very technical, very light on his feet, and he's a southpaw. So that presents a lot of complications. So, like I said, I don't think of Alex as any less of a fighter because of what he did. I mean, he tried to do what he was trying to accomplish, what nobody in mixed martial arts has ever done. So
yeah, and I mean, on my side of it, I think he didn't have anything to lose.
100%.
You know, why wouldn't he take this shot?
Still got paid.
He's going to be.
He got paid.
He would have been the first one to accomplish it if he did, and if he did not, no harm, no foul. But he did say that he's going to go back to the drawing board and might stay at heavyweight for a little longer to try again. That he said he don't know yet. They were going to go back to when they interviewed him. That's what he said. I would be curious to see if he really stays
there. How old is he?
He's going to be 39 on July 7th.
Okay. We all know his birthday now.
So soon.
So,
yeah. Okay.
But I mean, I don't know. I've never fluctuated that much weight in that short amount of time in an athletic sort of
especially
situation.
Having to be peak performance.
But when you think about it, like, I guess anything is possible, right? But I just don't see how you could just cut that weight off. I mean,
go back
to 205, man. I mean,
but the question is, are they going to give him the same chances after taking the L?
Same chances?
At heavyweight, is he going to get another title shot?
What kind of fights he going to get is the question.
At heavyweight?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Never know.
He's still the biggest star in the UFC.
Yeah, he
could fight anybody. Yeah. John Jones could come back.
Yeah, what about him versus John Jones at heavyweight?
I mean, it could be.
What about that? Or
it could be Josh Hokut. Josh Hokut's gone.
Shit. Okay. I mean? That would be interesting because the height, Hokus isn't that tall.
No, he's not.
And I'll tell you what would also be interesting on that is because they're both pretty fast for heavyweights.
Sure.
You know, Hokut and
Pereira is much more probably faster.
Yeah, no question. But you can't compare the speed.
Yeah. Faster than who?
Hoken.
No, I'm not saying
that. No, he's not. Not right now.
Yeah, yeah, not at heavyweight.
No. Not at heavyweight. No? I don't think so.
Okay.
What I'm saying, though, is them two are faster than most heavyweights, right? Like, most of your heavyweights do not have that speed, especially that Hoken has. I mean, Hoken is a rare form.
Yeah.
You know? He's looking really good. He's unblemished record.
Either way it goes, we're looking forward to see what happens next.
And the commentators in Hogan's fight, you know, they were quick to say that, look how much smaller he is compared to Derek Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they were like, is this going to be a problem? And, you know, he was just having a good time with it. One of the things, speaking of Hogan, that I thought was kind of – I laugh every time he does it, is he stood in the middle of the ring and just gave the big middle finger again and did all of that showboat stuff. I just can't help but laugh when he does it because I'm like, what is going through your
mind? Did he do that for the LFA?
He didn't do that, but he did have some crazy interviews after the LFA. Crazy ones. Yeah. Like crazy. Like,
just trying, spitballing, trying some random shit out. Hey, this woman's a man.
No.
Nothing like that?
Well, I mean, listen. I actually agreed with everything, but I agreed with some of the stuff he said. You know, he was talking shit about probably the worst governor in the country, which is Newsom. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to me, yeah, I live in California.
You don't think Gavin Newsom's done a good job in California?
He's done a good job lining his pockets.
Yeah, he's done a great job of doing that.
That's most of them.
I don't really know many, even Democrats, that seem to be big fans of that guy. And some say he may be.
I don't think he's a fan of him.
Yeah, that's a bizarre situation. But he may be one of the front runners for running for president. Right?
I don't follow. I bet the Republican Party is just mouth watering if that's the case.
Yeah. They would eat them up. But, you know, when Ed and I had the pleasure of doing our podcast the other day, one of the things he had said about Hokit is he's a completely different person off of camera. He's 100%. Actually a great stand-up guy.
Oh, I believe that.
Just solid.
I believe
that. Solid guy.
You don't get to be that accomplished of a college wrestler, college football player, NFL player.
Your morality clauses and your behavior are important when you represent a team like San Francisco 49er.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And like I said, when you talk about Hogan, you talk about, like, to me, still the biggest star in the sport right now. The two biggest stars are still Conor McGregor and Alex Pereira. I mean, those are still the biggest stars.
I agree with that.
Well, there it is. You got it. You heard it first.
The UFC is doing well right now. When the UFC is thriving, that's a good thing for the LFA?
It's a great thing. And, you know, we're their ally. You know, I mean, we're their ally. We provide the better they do. I'm not going to say the better they do, the better we do. But in a sense, it is like that.
The better we all do. It's a community.
Yeah, it is.
And it trickles down here. The ecosystem.
To Hard Rock MMA.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. Boxing. Mm-hmm. Two questions.
Okay.
Dana in boxing.
Yeah.
And you in boxing.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm kind of getting into it a little bit.
Why are you getting into it?
It was kind of not random. I mean, I've always, you know, liked the boxing business. But we represent a girl by the name of Tabitha Ritchie, and her boyfriend is an Irish boxer named Callum Walsh. And I'm representing Callum Walsh now. Represent Callum.
You heard it here first.
So
is that right? That's first.
Yeah. So Callum is just a great kid, 25 years old. Just an amazing story. You know, came here from Ireland. You know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Probably he was 20 years old when he came here and has built his... Made his way, man. He just...
I didn't realize that was Tabitha's boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he good looking?
Good looking kid.
Great. So let's get them both to do.
Yeah. No.
The couple.
You know, he just did the...
it's too late.
Say the fall... No, I think it was the spring, or no, it was maybe the fall or winter or spring 2026 A Goldie campaign.
Okay, so it's too late.
Why?
Prada might not want him. Oops.
Why not?
It's lived.
Why not? Why not? Why?
So, yeah, we had the pleasure of going to visit James Dixon over at TKO yesterday.
Yeah.
And when I took Ed, I'm trying to, you know, for me it's important that, because here the boxing and MMA community, there's a thing, right? And I was like, I'm going to take Ed over here and see how this goes, you know, because he's the MMA guy. And I had no idea that you were, you know, dabbling a little bit. And they hit it off, those two hit it off great, you know. And I had to, time to go, and they both looked at me like, you're taking our ball? Like, we're having such a good time talking.
Well, of course, yeah.
I mean, they were going at it. I had to went outside for 30 minutes. And I'm like, guys, I'm hungry. So I'm always hungry.
Yeah.
But it was great, and I think you were pretty impressed with his 14-year-old kid that was fighting. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, you know, that gym was cool, man. It's just your typical old school boxing style gym, man. And
that's right.
It's there's something to be said about there. It's just hard work and grind and hustle. And
listening to your coach.
Listening to
your coach not being afraid to yell at you.
Yeah, man.
I think is interesting. I know that happens, but James is like old school guy. Like, he's not worried about how you're going to feel about it, whether your parents are watching or not. If you're not doing what you're asked to do, or you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, he'll jump in your ass quick. But what I think's good for us is now that he's getting into that world, maybe there's some stuff we can do here locally.
Love it.
That Ed Suarez and his management company can
maybe one day you promote an MMA or a boxing event in Louisville, Kentucky, Ed.
Well, maybe not promote, but, you know, be involved.
Be support. Involved. Okay. Yeah. Support. Okay. Yeah. We'll take anything we can get here.
Yeah.
The combat sports scene here, you know, love to see it all.
I'm trying to do my part.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, you guys have been nothing but gracious to me, or at least most of you. And, you know, it's a privilege to come back after so long and jump so feet first or head first into this thing. And boxing is something that I'm trying to figure out. You know, Nick
I Barris did some boxing sparring tonight at House of Warrior under Coach Abdullah. I did.
Nice.
Yep. Got beat up by some Cubans.
You don't look swollen?
No, I mean, we're wearing headgear.
Okay.
Yeah. But I they've got three former Cuban national team members. Yusniel is a 112-pounder professional who's doing real well. He's 8-1. So we've got some good fighters
at
the House of Warrior also. There's multiple good gyms, really, to be honest.
Yeah, we need better promotions.
I mean,
more frequent.
I mean, I would expect nothing less from Louisville. You know?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, especially Muhammad Ali came from here, man.
Well, it's rumored that somebody's working on bringing the Kentucky Golden Gloves back.
I love that.
Which we haven't had that since Ali was fighting here.
Yeah, everybody's had to go to Indiana for years.
Up in Indianapolis.
Yep.
Or Illinois, is it? The other side, there's two.
Yeah, you know,
either way, it's 8 hours drive just to go and compete. So there's somebody trying to bring it back here.
Would love to see that. Yeah. Well, guys, I appreciate Steve. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, to see you.
I'm sorry, I met you before, but thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, absolutely.
For the first time, we'll have to do this again
Please,
sometime.
Let's do it.
Yeah, certainly. And I'll invite myself on your show too.
Please do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do it on air. That's a good way to do it, right?
I would love to do it. We do it both ways, so we have it both options.
Love it. Okay. Well, Ed Suarez, thank you very much for coming on the show. We're really looking forward to the big card Friday. Once again, June 19th, 2026, Freedom Hall.
This Friday,
2 days.
We have a weigh-in tomorrow night at Crown Plaza, a ceremonial weigh-in, which should be fun. We got some special stuff planned for that. So if anybody wants to come out, meet some fighters, take some photos.
Good stuff. And, of course, Eddie Donaldson, thank you so much for all you've been doing for the local scene.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, without your help and others' help, I wouldn't be doing any of this. So, you know, to you and Steve and anybody else out there that's helping or not helping, I'm just grateful to be a part of this thing that we call a family, a combat sports family here in Louisville.
I love it.
If it's okay to say, I mean, let's give a shout-out to just LFA as a brand and Ed just coming in.
I'll take
it. And this guy has been the most humble guy. Like, we haven't really had a chance to really talk about Ed. But, you know, I had the pleasure, thanks to Eddie, to introduce me to Ed. Ed and I tried to do a live while he was in Brazil. He forgot to pay his Obama phone bill, and it just kept
You don't pay Obama phone bill. It's free.
No, but, you know, we had a chance to do that. Then we got here and was able to do it. And I'll tell you, I mean, I consider Ed a friend of mine now. I've got to talk to him a little bit, got to know him a little bit. He's been on the phone a whole lot. But the guy works from sunup to sundown and just a humble, quality guy. Most people that's in his shoes – and has as much weight on his shoulders as he does, he takes it very, very humbly.
Well, I'll tell you this. He stayed at the house for two nights, and we've been with him 2 days straight.
Yep.
I'm learning Portuguese.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Not really.
But yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm not.
I'm not going to learn it.
Ed
but
also
by
speaks
default,
Spanish, right?
He speaks Spanish, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll just
by default, I'm learning it because I'm overhearing it some.
We'll tell this guy this real quick for me.
Yeah.
You know? That's about my Portuguese that I'm going to get. So.
But, yeah. Well, thank you for saying that, absolutely, man. I just, you know, no different than anyone else, man.
No, I do appreciate your humble approach to it all. It seems like when you come in town, you're ready to work your ass off, do the media that you need to do. You're not skipping anything.
No, man, that's what I do. That's what we're here to do. I appreciate you saying that, but I don't think of myself as anyone.
Well, listen, you don't go to every town 4 days before the show.
No, I don't.
And stay with their local promoter.
I actually don't. I don't do that.
So it's a big deal for us. You know, for me personally,
any other town, to be honest with
you. Why do you for Louisville?
Because of Eddie.
Okay.
Well, that part too. But listen, we're building something here. This community gives a lot to us. And we want to give a lot back to that community. Sure, our friendship plays a role in that because we're so comfortable and known each other so long and have been through so much together. But part of it is the fact that you guys are so gracious and you welcome us here and you do so much.
But definitely, the Louisville's been just incredible. They've embraced us. They've helped us from the, you know, the sports commission.
Yeah, let's shout out KEC, you know.
Carlo Kellum.
David Beck, yeah. You know he quit. He's no longer with the commission.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, we'll talk about that
later. Must be news.
Well, we got to give a shout out to David Beck and the team over there. They've been very gracious to us. They have a wonderful partnership with us, and they're very supportive. You know, without them, there's probably not another venue that we could do what we do here locally, at least not now. And all of that plays a role in what these guys, and it's not just Ed, but what LFA gives back to the opportunity and the partnership.
Yeah, everyone's been super supportive here, and like I said, this is a combat sports, it's a fight town, so you know it feels good to be able to bring something that no one else is bringing here. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That no one else is bringing here. I mean, yeah, you know, we rely on some of these smaller, more regional shows. It's important, but at the end of the day, nobody's bringing what we're bringing here as consistently as we are. You know, the last time the UFC was here was, 2 years ago?
Yeah. It was a hell of a show.
It was a great show.
Yeah. And I'm going to go on the limb and say that they saw what we did and said, hey, something's going on over there.
We've done that a lot.
We got to raise our hand. We got to put our.
We've done that in a lot of areas. You know, we were the first ones to go to South Dakota.
Yeah. It's a give and take between you guys for sure. Yeah,
for sure. You know,
I mean, you and Dane have been working together long enough to follow cues and recognize.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is great. You know, I think it's great.
But, yeah, for sure.
Louisville's an interesting market. Number one college basketball market in the country.
Yeah.
So I know that's not combat sports.
No, but it's a fact.
It's a fact. It's something. There's enthusiasm for the local scene here. And that's, you know, college basketball is kind of a local type.
Yeah, the Kings just won. You know.
Yeah.
The football. There's things happening.
They got three of their players signed by NFL roster.
Yeah, I've seen that.
We're getting a hockey team.
What do you mean? Not NHL?
I don't know exactly what level it is, but there's a hockey stadium that there's going to be built in 2 years here, and we're going to have a hockey team.
Interesting.
I just heard that from Greg Fonte today. So I don't know these specifics.
You get some good fights at hockey games.
Shout out to Greg Fonte. You know, anybody who knows him, he's fighting for his life now. And, you know, we love him. He's done a lot for this community. For sure. And, you know, I talked to him today, and he was literally getting chemo.
Wow.
And he still took 45 minutes to talk to me about Ed's visit with James and what we're doing here. He's not going to be able to be in the house on Saturday, but we're going to probably hopefully say something about him and what he's done to help usher LFA into Louisville.
Perfect.
I love it. Well, guys, good stuff. Thanks again, everybody, for coming on the show.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I really do appreciate
this. Dugan.
Yep, I appreciate you. I do. Ed, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate all you guys. Thanks again. Everybody, be sure to tune back in. Of course, we'll have another episode of the Kelly Patrick Show out soon. Thank you.